And that chorus of the Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, I was testing where that was the eye test, okay? Praise the Lord, we knew that song pretty well because that was hard to see. But I'm excited to be with you tonight. Like I said, there will be no microphone, so I'll just have to be a little louder tonight, which Carrie would say I don't have any problem doing. So tonight, if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, we will be in Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. It was not my plan to be this close to where I was at this morning, but as we were seeking the Lord and trying to figure out what we would deal with tonight, the Lord just led us in this direction. It just so happens to be one page over. So Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 40. When you find your place, if you're able, if you haven't torn your calf muscle, you may stand. Please stand in reference to the... I just felt bad saying that because I didn't want you to have to stand back up after you sat back down. So Luke chapter number 12, verses 35 through 40. So the Bible says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." I want to preach tonight on the changing our focus. Brother Glenn, would you pray for us, please?
Dear God, thank you again for the privilege we have to come here, for the blessing that your word is, for the truth that it gives us. Lord, I pray that you give us hearts that are willing and open to your word, to your truth, and that we might change our focus according to your will. For Jesus Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. So as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight very quickly, obviously the focus here, the big focus is the return of the Lord, specifically the second coming of Jesus. But I want us here to take the principles of how we can apply it to our lives, looking forward to the rapture of the church. That, because I believe the principles here apply to us just the same as it did to the Jews in regards to the second coming. And that's what I want us to look at tonight, so that we can be like the servants we see in this passage that are described. And when the Lord comes, we will be ready. We will be ready for his return. So the first thing I want to point out as we look at this passage of Scripture first is the picture given to us here in verse number 36. The Bible says, "And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." So the picture we see here first is of a Jewish wedding. And Jewish weddings often were at nighttime. And what was happening here, the servants were back at the house preparing the home, getting it ready for their master and his bride, so that when they came home, they could open the door to the house immediately. And I don't know about you, but if I was a newly married man, I would want to get where I was going as quickly as I could and want anything to hinder that. I would want to be able to spend time with my wife and the servants do their job so there would be no hindrances there. So pictures of a Jewish wedding, the servants are back watching for their master. The Bible says here, "Like unto men that wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." So they are, well, the servants are watching for their master and waiting for him, so that when he comes, they can open the door to him immediately. And that is what Jesus here wants you and I to look like and to be as we await his return. As we await the rapture of the church, he wants us to be like them, watching and waiting. So when it comes, we are prepared. And I know that if we're saved by the grace of God, we are prepared. We're on our way to heaven. But I mean prepared in the sense of, I want to stand before God, being able to hold my head up, knowing that I gave it my best, I was doing what I should do, and that I was ready when he came. And that's the picture we have here. So the picture is of a wedding where the servants are watching and the servants are waiting. So we see not only the picture, but the plan. How can we be like those servants? We see this in verse 30, the beginning of verse number 37 and verse 35. We see first that we must be looking. We must be looking. Look at verse 37. It says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." We need to be looking, watching for the Lord's return. And we'll deal a little bit with it, a little more with it later. But when we, and I almost titled this message, having a proper perspective. You see, when we get up every single day and we are very mindful of and focused on the fact that Jesus could return today, I believe that will change the way we live that day. I believe it'll change the things we do, the way we spend our time, the people we talk to. I believe that'll have a major impact on us. We must be looking first because the return of the Lord is certain. It's not a maybe. Now, so many people may think today, well, I've heard people say, well, I've heard my entire life that Jesus was coming back, and he hasn't yet. Well, that doesn't mean that he's not going to. That just means we're a lot closer now than we used to be. Jesus is coming back. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And I find myself a lot of times not being as mindful of that as I should be. I get too focused on the things of this world, and I'm not focused on his return, which really has an impact on the way I live my life and the things I do. We need to be looking for him because his return is certain, but also his return is concealed. Verse number 38, "And if ye shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." Then verse number 40, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." See, the time of his coming is unknown. Right. So, and I want to tell you this, and the Bible tells us this. There have been many people throughout the ages of time, and even in recent history, who have tried to predict the day that Jesus will return. And there are days that I can guarantee that he won't return is when people says he will. Every time. I remember the last time, it was 2012 or something like that, where somebody tried, they said Jesus was going to return today. I was at somebody's house. I can't remember exactly what I was doing that day, but somebody there was actually worried about that. And I said, hey, if they predicted it, that means it's not happening today, because the Bible said no man knows the day nor the hour. So we see that it is certain, but it is concealed, which means we must be consistent. We must be consistent. Look at verses 39 through 40. "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." You see here, verse number 39 talks about, if I knew that at a time, that a certain time someone was going to come and try to break in my house and rob me or harm my family, I would be waiting and prepared to defend myself and do what necessary to get them away from my house and my family. See, and we need to understand here, the return of the Lord is as certain as somebody being told, hey, somebody's coming to harm you or harm your family or rob your home. We just don't know when. So we must constantly be ready. And I believe that's why the Lord didn't give us a day. Because I believe human nature is, if I know, at least with me, if I know that I've got a paper due or I got a test in the future, I know the exact day. There have been times in my life where I said, the test is on so-and-so day. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I'm going to chill for a few days. And it gets a little closer. Oh, it's still over there. Yeah. I can wait. And then usually what happened was the day before the test. Oh, my goodness, the test is tomorrow. I got to study for that thing. Yeah. Then I did the late night cram, and you probably know how the test went. But I believe that's human nature. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I believe that that is how we are naturally. And I believe if the Lord had given us a day that us Christians would look at, that's the day the Lord's going to return. And I believe if we weren't careful, we would be like I just talked about, and we'd take our foot off the gas and say, hey, well, we'll get cleaned up. We'll do what we need to. We'll witness to people as we get closer to that day. But that is why we must be consistent and faithful and always watching and looking, because we don't know when it's going to happen. It is going to happen, but we don't know when, so we must strive to be consistent in our Christian walk, consistently being like these servants, watching and waiting. So we see that the plan is, first, we must be looking. And I believe as we look, it will give us a proper perspective. It'll help us to get our priorities straight. Years ago, I preached this text a little differently with a different outline, and the message was getting your priorities straight. I believe when we realize, hey, the Lord could return today, it'll move a lot of things down the list of priorities and lift the Lord up higher where he needs to be. So we must be looking, but also we must be laboring, as we see in verse number 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. So we think about laboring here. As I think about laboring, I believe first there must be purification, because before we can have our loins girded about and our lights burning, we have got to be pure. We have got to be clean. Now, obviously, I'm talking about salvation, but I'm talking about when we sin. We've talked about keeping our sin list short, confessing our sin before God. When sin raises its nasty head up in our life, we deal with it, and we deal with it immediately. We need to remain clean if we're going to be like this as these servants are. 2 Timothy 2:19-21 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now listen to this. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Some are clean and some are dirty. Some the Lord wants to use and some God does not want to use. And which one are you?" God doesn't want to use clean vessels. I may not care. Went in and grabbed a dirty cup, kind of rinsed it out a little bit and used it. But that ain't the way God is. God wants a clean vessel to use for his service and for his glory. So we got to strive to stay clean, to be a vessel of honor. It goes on to say, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." We've got to purify ourselves. When sin comes in our life, praise the Lord, the Bible gives us many scriptures, but the one that we've dealt with recently, and it's always on my mind, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's not be like David and have God send a prophet before we'll repent, but when sin rears its nasty head up, we deal with it. And I've talked about recently, the closer we get to God, the more sensitive we are to sin. And I believe the more and the quicker we're going to want to deal with it. And the more we look for him and we're focused upon his return. And you know how, and I'll talk more about it in a moment, but you know how you get focused on his return? You think about it, but how can you think about it? Keep your mind on it is the word of God. It's always pointing toward Jesus. It always keeps our eyes on him. And now we know the next step on God's timetable, as far as I can tell, is the rapture. Is the return of Jesus. I believe whatever the last soul is that's going to be saved before the rapture, I believe that's the only thing holding God back. And when that happens, the rapture is going to happen. I believe it's next on God's timetable. And we learn that from the scripture. So we've got to remain pure if we want to be like these servants. Now, if you don't care how you stand before God as, and I know like if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. We're going to be there forever. But I don't want to be saved as so by fire. I want to stand before God having something to offer him. I want to stand before God knowing I gave it my best. There are so many times in my sports career growing up that I can look back on it and I know that I did not give it my best. And it eats at me to this day. It destroys me knowing that I left something out there. And that's why I encouraged my little brother to never do that. And far as I know, he has no regrets. See, like me, I would love to play football again because I know that I left a lot out there. But him, he has no desire to because he knows that he gave it all, he left it all out there, and he's done with it. I want to stand before God one day knowing that I gave it my best, that I stayed as clean as I could, and I served him as much as I could and did all I could for him. But to do that, we've got to be pure. We've got to be a vessel of honor. But not only through laboring, there must be purification, but there also must be preparation. We see this at the beginning of verse number 35. Let your loins be girded about. Now, back in those days, they dressed a shade different than we do now. Just a little bit. The men wore tunics. I guess that's what you... I don't know the official name. I will not call it a dress. But I mean, it was long flowing robes back in the day. And if they were going to work or if they were going to fight in battle, they would have to roll their skirts up. They would roll them up and tuck them in their belt so that they would have free range of motion to do what was needed to be done. They had to prepare themselves to do the work. And that's what we need to do spiritually. I've never had the liberty to, but I've thought of a message, hike up your skirt and get to work. I don't know. I can find it somewhere in there. I mean, that's literally what it is. Hike up your skirt and get to work. But praise the Lord, that's not on there. That's basically what's being said there. Let your loins be girded about. Pull your robe up, tuck it in your belt so that you are prepared to do what work God has called, created you to do. And that's what we've got to do spiritually. And we see that, and I'm going to focus on that in 2 Timothy 2:15, a very well-known passage of Scripture. Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That word study there means work hard. Give diligence. Give your best effort to do the three things listed in this text. If we're going to do it the way God wants us to, it will be laborious. It will be hard. Sometimes it'll be grueling. Sometimes it will not be fun. I know some of the best football programs in the nation that are on the field. It looks like, people may think, man, I bet their practices are a blast. I bet they have a good time. No, I believe the best football teams absolutely hate practice because that's when they work hard. That's when they go through the pain and the sweat and the blood and the tears preparing for that game day. But the practice part, the preparation part is not always fun, but in the end, it will be worth it if you have done it. I remember the few times in my life where I did prepare myself as I should have. When I stepped on the field that Friday night, it was some of the most fun and the best games of my career. And that's the way we need to be spiritually. If we want to be able to enjoy our Christian walk and serve God as best we can, we've got to do the hard work and prepare ourselves to do it. And sometimes it will not be fun, but it will be worth it in the end, I promise. I mean, imagine if we prepare ourselves and we live for God as we should, and one day we have stuff to offer at His feet in return for what He's done for us. Imagine how wonderful and glorious that will be. And we're going to talk about what He's going to do for us later on in the message. But we've got to prepare ourselves. So it talks about their study first. It says to show thyself approved, to show the Lord you can be useful to Him, to show Him you're ready to work, to serve. It's like a quarterback showing himself in practice, showing the coach, hey, I am equipped and prepared to go out on the field on Saturday night and do the job that needs to be done. We've got to give diligence and work hard to show God we are ready to be used. I believe that's why a lot of Christians today aren't being used by God, because they haven't prepared themselves to be. They've rode the church pew. They haven't been reading or praying or studying, serving as they should. And they got the bless me if you can attitude, and that God's not using them in service because they haven't prepared themselves. They haven't shown they are approved. So they study, show thyself approved, but then it goes on to say, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed of my labors, of my efforts. I want to be able to know that I gave it all that I had. There's so many things in my life that I regret I haven't given it my all, but I don't want that to be the case in my walk with the Lord and my service to Him. If we don't want to be ashamed of our efforts, we've got to study. We've got to work hard. We've got to give diligence. Put in the work when we don't feel like putting in the work. Reading the Bible when we don't feel like reading the Bible. Praying when we don't feel like praying. See, that when we don't feel like praying or we don't feel like reading or studying, you know, that's the time we needed to do it the most. You see, the best athletes, that's why the Bible talks about building endurance, preparing ourselves so that when the hard times come, when it gets hard, when it gets not fun, when it gets painful, we can push through it. And we've got to do it, whether we feel like it or not, because it is our duty. It's our duty. That's why we're here. I'm not here for me. I'm not here to make a bunch of money and make myself look good. I am on planet Earth right now to serve God, to pastor this church, to fulfill the Great Commission. That's why you're here as well. Not to pastor this church, but to fulfill the Great Commission and to find what God has for you and be obedient to it. So study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And probably the most important, study to show thyself approved. Thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, that's why we have so many different denominations and even religions that read the exact same Bible I do, but have some off-the-wall beliefs because they have not rightly divided the scriptures. A lot of them just take it at face value and don't study it, and that's a dangerous game in a lot of situations. We've got to work hard, give diligence, sometimes suffer pain and agony as we agonize over the scriptures to find out what it's really saying. We've got to study so that we can rightly divide the scriptures so that we can interpret it correctly. That's very, very important. If I misinterpret the scriptures, it is going to affect me, my family, and you as well. It's very important that I understand what God's saying, what you understand what God's saying, because the next step not only is interpretation, but is illumination to others. We've got to know it so that we can live it, but so that we can proclaim it to others as well. If we're not careful, we can send people straight to hell if we misinterpret this book. It's a lot of times it can be the difference between life and death. That sounds pretty important. That doesn't sound like a man not wanting to read directions. That sounds like something serious where we need to put the time in, whether we feel like it or not, to make sure that we understand what's being said. So we've got to study to be approved, unashamed, and to accurately, to rightly divide the scriptures. So there must be purification. There must be preparation. And then I believe there will be, and should be, productivity. Look what it says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Not only do we need to prepare ourselves for service, but we need to go out into this dark world and shine the light of the glorious gospel, shine the light of Jesus Christ to this world. You see, these servants here, back in verse number 36, when I think of waiting, my fleshly form of waiting is me in my easy chair at home, kicking out my recliner and watching TV. But my wife's form of waiting, and probably all you other ladies, is completely different. I was thinking about this earlier today. My wife's, just for example, say somebody's come over to our house to eat supper with us. I'm probably usually in my easy chair with the recliner out, and I'm watching football or whatever sports on TV that day. And my wife is going around the house and cleaning up everything, getting everything ready, working her tail off. She's waiting. She's waiting, but she is working at the same time, preparing for when those come. And that's the way we should be. We shouldn't be like me. We shouldn't be sitting in our easy chair waiting on the Lord to return, not preparing ourselves and not serving, but we should be like all you ladies in the room, and you're waiting, which is working. That's what we should be doing. We should prepare ourselves, and then we should be serving while we wait. That's what watching and waiting is. We're being active until He comes. And see, we're going to see here in just a moment. Remember, I talked earlier, we should be looking. But as we look and as we labor, it'll make us look. And as we look, it'll make us labor. See, as we continue to serve, it'll keep our eyes on Him. And that's the ultimate goal. So we should be in labor, and there should be purification, preparation, and productivity. And then thirdly and finally, and I'll be done, we see the product of this. And first off, the first product I thought about is the correct priorities. Correct priorities. And I talked about this earlier. If we're looking for the Lord as we should be, if we're laboring for the Lord, or waiting for the Lord can be the term to go with that, as we should be, I believe our priorities will be where they need to be. If I'm honest with myself, a lot of times I've got things up high on my list that shouldn't be. But if I keep my eyes on the Lord as they should be, it'll motivate me to change my priority list and put Him where He needs to be and His work at the forefront of all that I do. I talked about that this past Wednesday. What's the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Not last, not the sloppy seconds, not if I remember it, but first in every aspect of our life. And I believe God will honor that and bless that. But I believe if we will look and we will labor as we should, we'll have correct priorities. But I also believe we'll have confidence in our pardon. I believe as we do that, it will give us more and more assurance of our salvation. If we're loving God and we're living for God and we're serving God, and when sin rears its nasty head up, we immediately confess it and forsake it, and we're looking and laboring as we should be, that God will give us more and more assurance of our salvation. I believe that's why a lot of believers, I believe there's a lot of saved people today that are unsure of their salvation because they're not serving God as they should be. They're not in the Word. They're not speaking to Him in prayer. They're not dealing with sin as they should be. I know, because that's been me in my life. But if we're living for God, we're looking and we're laboring as we should be, we'll have correct priorities, we'll have confidence in our pardon, and then, thirdly, it will conclude with a party. Or we see here, verse number 37b, the Lord, the roles are kind of reversed. Right now, we're serving Him. But the Bible tells me right here that one day He's going to serve us. We're going to sit down one day at the king's table, and He's going to tell us to sit down. He's going to gird up Himself and serve us. He's going to serve us. Look what it says, verse number 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. We will be rewarded for our labor, church. We see in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen to this. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a lot of things we can waste our time doing in this life, and in the end, it's vanity, as Solomon says. But if you spend your time looking and laboring for God, you are not wasting your time. It is not in vain, and one day it will be rewarded. If we will do what God has told us to do, we've got to be like these servants in verse number 36. We've got to be watching, and we've got to be working. And if we will, we can stand before God one day knowing we've given it our best, and we will have crowns to offer Him for what He's done for us. Remember, we're not serving Him so that we can walk around heaven with our crowns on saying, look what I did. Yeah, I got this for doing that. No, every one of us will take whatever crowns we have and lay it at the feet of Jesus in thanksgiving. That's a question maybe we need to ask ourselves. If the Lord were to return right now and we were to go to heaven, would you have anything to offer Him? I mean, praise God, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. I praise the Lord for that. But I want to have something to offer Him. I want to be able to have something to say thank you with. And I believe you do too. So may God help us to be like these servants, to be watching, to be waiting, which is to be working. And then in the end, when the Lord comes, we will be prepared. And when we stand before Him, we can do it with peace in our heart, knowing that we gave it our best. And then we can hear those words that we all want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You want to hear that? I believe we've got to be a good and faithful servant. May God help us to be. I thank God He will help us if we're willing, if we have a desire to be, if we ask Him to. I praise the Lord, He will empower us to do it. I've said a lot of do tonight. But if we try to do it in our own power, we cannot do it. But I praise the Lord, we have a helper, a comforter that lives within our hearts. And if we will surrender control of this vessel to Him, He will take control and He will live the Christian life. He will do the impossible through us. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. All things. Anything God wants us to do, we can do it, but only through Him and not through us. Are you willing to surrender yourself to Him today? And I'm talking to Christians tonight. Are you willing to surrender control of this vessel? The Lord won't force it. The Lord's a perfect gentleman. But if you'll surrender yourself to the sweet Holy Spirit, I know for a fact He'll take control of you and He'll use you and do things that, in the end, when you look at it and when people look at it, they'll say, God did that. Because Tyler could not have done that. Anything good that I've ever done in my ministry, it can only be attributed to, hey, God did that. Not Tyler. If you can say Tyler did it, just ask Carrie. It usually ends in a flop. But if God does it, It'll end in a great way, and He'll bless it. So may God help us to surrender ourselves to Him, to seek to be not drunk with wine, wine in excess, but be filled, be controlled by the Spirit. And that's continuous. That means basically, be ye being filled. It's not a one-time thing, but every second of every day. And I believe as we keep our eyes on His return, keep our eyes on the fact that He could return any moment, I believe that'll keep our minds on the fact of realizing, hey, Lord, I need You. Holy Spirit, I need You. Control me now. Empower me now. And He will. And man, what we can do if we'll just surrender to Him. As Miss Anna comes to the piano, all heads bowed and our eyes are closed, I thank You for Your kind attention tonight. You've listened well. I don't know where this message found you tonight, but as I prepared for this and as I've read the scripture over the years, just about every time, it convicts my heart, chastens me, shows me I'm not being the servant that I need to be, that my priorities a lot of times are messed up. A lot of times my waiting is lazy waiting and not working waiting. But maybe you want to come tonight and say, Lord, help me to be looking and to be laboring so that when You return, I will be ready and I will have something to offer You. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. I believe everybody here in this building right now claims to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. If you stood before Him right now, you're not ready. I thank God the same gospel that saved me can save you before you leave this place. All you got to do is admit you're a sinner before God. Agree with God about your sin. Believe upon Jesus. Call upon His name. And the Bible says He will save you. Some are praying. The altar's open tonight. Don't leave here tonight without doing business. Thank you all for your kind attention tonight. You may look.